Chapter 5. A Fire in the Night. It was difficult to teach Adele the next day. She was excited because Mr. Rochester was home, and she kept running to the library door to look for him. When it got dark, I let Adele put away her school books and run downstairs to play. Then I walked to the window, and I was watching the snow when Mrs. Fairfax came in. "Mr. Rochester would like you and Adele to have tea with him this evening," she said. I went to my room and put on my best black dress. Then I went back downstairs and followed Mrs. Fairfax into the drawing room. Two candles stood on the table. Mr. Rochester was sitting on a couch in front of a huge fire with Pilot at his feet. Adele sat on the floor next to the dog. Mr. Rochester did not lift his head when we entered. "Miss Eyre is here, sir," said Mrs. Fairfax in her quiet way. He nodded his head.
"Please sit, Miss Eyre."
I did not mind that he was not polite. I liked it, actually. I sat down and waited for him to speak again, while Mrs. Fairfax brought us both some tea. Then she sat in the corner.
"Did you expect a present, Miss Eyre?"
Mr. Rochester asked suddenly. He turned and looked at me.
"I don't know, sir," I replied. "I have not received many presents in my life. I know that people think they are nice things."
"People think?" he said. "But what do you think? Adele wants a present as soon as she sees me, but you have not asked for one."
"Because I do not expect one, sir," I said. "Adele knows you, and it is normal for you to bring her presents. You do not know me, and you have no reason to give me one."
"Please, don't be modest," he said. "I have spoken to Adele, and she has learned a lot since you came."
"Then that is my present," I replied. "Teachers like to hear that their students are doing well."
He said. "You have lived in my house for 3 months, haven't you?"
"Yes, sir," I replied.
"Where did you come from?"
"Lowood Institution, sir."
"Ah, that explains your strange pale face and modest words. Where are your parents?"
"I don't have any, sir."
"Brothers? Sisters?"
"I have no brothers or sisters," I replied.
"How did you come to work here?"
"I advertised, and Mrs. Fairfax wrote to me," I said.
At that moment, Mrs. Fairfax decided to speak.
"And it was a good thing too. Miss Eyre has been a good friend to me and a kind and careful teacher to Adele."
"Please don't feel you have to say good things about her. I shall decide," replied Mr. Rochester quickly. "My horse fell because of her, and now my foot is hurt."
He asked me more about my years at Lowood, and I told him about Mr. Brocklehurst and the cold rooms and terrible food. Then he suddenly said,
"Look at the time, Miss Eyre. It is past 9 o'clock. Adele should be in bed."
"I feel that Mr. Rochester is very strange," I said to Mrs. Fairfax later, when I joined her in her room. "One moment he is happy, the next he is angry, and he is not very polite."
"Maybe he seems strange to someone who does not know him," she replied slowly. "But if he is strange, there are reasons for it. There has been bad trouble in his family. His older brother,
who lived here before, died 9 years ago. Mr. Rochester has only lived at Thornfield Hall since then.
Was he very sad when his brother died? I asked.
I don't think so, she replied. Their father did not want to share his money between his sons, so he gave it all to his older son.
He wanted Mr. Rochester to have money too, but the plans he made for Mr. Rochester were bad. Oh, there was a lot of trouble. I don't know what happened, but Mr. Rochester stopped talking to his family, and now he lives a very strange life. He is never at Thornfield for more than a fortnight, but it's not a surprise that he does not like the place.
Why doesn't he like it? I asked.
Maybe he thinks that it's a dark and unhappy place.
It was not an answer. I wanted to know more, but Mrs. Fairfax either could not, or would not, give me any more information. Some days later, Mr. Rochester asked me and Adele to join him again. This time he was smiling, and there was a bright light dancing in his eyes.
"You are looking at me, Jane Eyre. Do you think that I am handsome?" he said.
I did not think before I answered, "No, sir." He laughed loudly.
"Ha! You are very different from other people," he said. "You sit there quietly with your hands together, but when you answer, you say what you think."
"I'm sorry, sir. My answer was wrong. I meant that you are not handsome to me, but other women may think that you are. People like different things. Anyway, faces do not matter."
"Well, you are not pretty either," he replied.
But he was still smiling. Maybe it was the wine that he was drinking that was making him so playful. Then he continued.
"Young lady, I wanted to talk to someone tonight, so I sent for you. The fire and pilot cannot talk. Adele can speak a little, but not enough to interest me. It's the same for Mrs. Fairfax. I can have a good conversation with you, however, so please talk to me."
And our evenings continued this way. Often he asked me to have tea with him. He seemed interested in me and what I thought about life. My serious answers often made him smile. One night, I was lying in bed and thinking about him. "Why doesn't he stay at the house very much?" I thought. "Usually, he only stays for a fortnight, but he has been here for 8 weeks now. Will he leave again soon?" At last, I went to sleep. A few hours later, I woke because of the sound of a terrible laugh from outside my door. I took my candle and immediately hurried into the corridor. "Who is there?" I shouted. And then I suddenly saw that the door to Mr. Rochester's bedroom was open. At the same time, I smelled smoke. I ran inside to see tall flames dancing around his bed while he slept. The curtains were on fire. "Wake up! Wake up!" I shouted, and I started shaking his shoulders. But he did not move. I ran back to my room and picked up a large jug of water that was next to my bed. I then ran back and threw it over him and the curtains. He immediately jumped up from the bed, while the flames got smaller and finally died.
"What's happening?" he shouted. "Is that Jane Eyre? What are you doing here?"
"There has been a fire," I shouted.
Someone has set fire to your bed!
Then I told him about the strange laugh in the corridor. He looked worriedly at the black bed and curtains. Then he said,
Wait for me here. Don't tell anyone about this.
He went out of the room, and I heard him go upstairs to the rooms above. A few minutes later, he came back with an angry face.
It's what I thought, he said.
What is, sir? He did not reply, but stood looking at the ground. Then he said,
That laugh you heard was Grace Poole. Please, don't tell anyone about tonight, Jane. Now, go to your own room. I will sleep on the couch in the library.
Good night then, sir. He looked surprised.
What? You will just go and not say anything more?
Suddenly, he took both my hands in his.
You have just saved my life, Jane. I cannot say any more.
It was good that I was awake, I replied. Then I took my hands from his and left him. But I did not sleep again that night.